XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're talking about funding your small business, the do's and the don'ts. My guests are Eugene Cornelius, Deputy Associate Administrator with the U.S. Small Business Administration, and Nicole Kober, a small business owner and author of CEO of My Soul, The Self-Love Journey of a Small Business Owner. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Mark, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
How you doing today?
Doing just fine. Go right ahead.
So you guys answered my initial question. It was in regards to seeking funding outside or external to the conventional loans. And through your conversation that you had at the very beginning, that actually explained a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I will be looking at the sources that you guys gave as far as additional things to look at. I did want to ask a question in regards to building a home for that business. The company that I wish to seek to start is an entertainment type of venture, kind of like the laser tag or paintball or something similar. But I realized that there's actually leagues that are starting up that are involved in this this activity, dealing with major universities or schools. And I was wondering, how do I tap that asset or that resource to be able to work with them in conjunction with my company to have a steady source of income or revenue?
Okay. Anyone?
Yeah. I think the social media, I mean, that's just the easy breezy contacting, seeing what their Facebook page pages are, their social media outlets, also contacting the schools themselves to, you know, maybe offer specials, promotions that would support your underlying business strategy. And then a marketing campaign with a couple of the heavy hitters in the league. I think people, once they see that the leaders in your league are supporting your establishment, other people will definitely come as well.
Okay.
Because of the fact that there's leagues associated with this, do I need to work in conjunction with the leagues to establish contracts with them, or can I just establish contracts directly with the schools or the groups that participated?
Eugene, do you have thoughts?
Not necessarily. Yeah, not necessarily. That is one way to do it. That would be more of a difficult way to do it because that would involve contracts, and contracts involves attorneys and risk assessment and risk management assessment and probability sharing. So you want to be careful about jumping into that as a newcomer into the arena. What you probably want to do, and I have to echo Nicole again here, is do the marketing campaign to the individual schools and drum up enough schools within your network to make it worthy for the leagues to want to come to you.
Okay. Well, Mark, go ahead, Eugene, quickly. I've got some other calls I want to grab.
Okay. Yeah, one other thing you want to may do in contact with directly with the schools, get involved with the school organizational programs, clubs and fraternities and sororities in the school, and see how they can help you get into that network.
Okay. Mark, good luck to you. Thank you so much for your phone call, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Jay calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hello?
Yes, go right ahead.
Yes, I wanted to check on the funding for, like, HVAC cleaning, vents and dry vents. And it's a small business. I just
want to
get started.
Okay. Go ahead.
I'll give you an example. I don't know if you'll need a storefront, but if you do, I give the example what I did talk about in my book and how I got started with my first business, which was a day spa. I didn't have experience in it, but I did my business plan and I applied for an SBA 504 loan. A 504 loan allows you to purchase your property, your building, and it also allows for the purchase of equipment, so like shampoo bowls and things like that. So anybody that has some business that needs a storefront, the SBA does not do the lending. I went to a bank to get that, but the SBA will support that that loan, will guarantee that loan. So, you know, go to your traditional banks. Again, there, I didn't have experience. I think I had to come up with about 10%, maybe 15% of the overall total amount of the loan. And it would have been less had I had experience in that industry. My credit, credit is another factor. My credit at the time, it was better than average, but it was, but there were things that I did have to call the credit institutions, write letters, get those blemishes off. So, but the, there are ways that you can work. Your credit is always going to be a, it is a factor. It's an important factor. But I thought that's an extraordinary way to get approval for your dream, for your vision as a startup.
Jay, thank you so much. Eugene, I have a question. Nicole was just talking about the SBA administering these loans. What kind of interest rates are we talking about? Let us say that you do have, as Nicole suggested, better than average credit. Let's say you're in the low 700s or so, or something like that.
Well, let me be bluntly honest. If you are at better than average credit and superior credit, you probably don't want an SBA loan. An SBA loan is guaranteed loans for lenders who have some issue with the underwriting situation that is a part of their analysis for accepting credit. And the SBA says, okay, this person doesn't necessarily have the collateral, or this person doesn't necessarily have the experience you want, or this person is going into an industry that tends to be risky for the bank or the financial institution that is normally taking on these loans. We, as the SBA, say, go ahead and make that loan, and we'll guarantee 75% up to 85%, depending on what it is and if it's an international or domestic loan. So if you have substantially good credit, you may want to do that less because SBA charges a premium for that guarantee, 2% on average.
Okay.
So mine might have been not great then.
Right.
I took what I could, Eugene. I was getting a shameless plug in for y'all.
Yeah, I know. However, now we do, a lot of banks will put an SBA guarantee loan on good credit if it's in an industry or that you are not very experienced in.
Right, that would have been my case, yes.
And that was your case.
Yes.
Based on what you just said, it was not the credit that stopped the banks from loaning and giving you an SBA back guarantee. It was your lack of experience in the daycare.
In the day spa, yes, absolutely.
Right.
That's correct.
There are ways to do that. But getting back to that question, it depends on the amount of money you're asking for. Mm-hmm. For an example, microloans, loans of $50,000 or less, the premium is a little higher because it's more costly for banks to do microloans. So SBA has its own intermediary microloans to cut that cost down. So if you're looking for $50,000 or less, then you can get a very low-cost debt financing loan. If you are at $250,000 or less, using our Community Express guaranteed product, you can probably have a reasonable credit debt cost of capital. But we would always urge, if you can get debt elsewhere, you should get it elsewhere. SBA is there to help that marginal case of lack of collateral, lack of experience, or risky underwriting projects to a bank to guarantee the loan so that they don't say no to you, particularly to the underserved community. So I think that is very clear that we understand that, because SBA doesn't make loans. We guarantee loans for banks who are questioning if they're going to make that loan to you.
Okay. Let me go to James. James calling from West Virginia. James, what's on your mind?
Yes, sir. I'm a veteran, a Vietnam veteran, and I live in West Virginia, where there's a great heroin epidemic going on here. I am really vested in trying to get people to a place where they can stay stopped after they stop. They're putting up all these rehab facility, not rehab, the detox centers.
Mm-hmm.
But once you get over the detox, you need to, there needs to be something on the other side.
Recovery. Yes.
Recovery ready community. And I'm a mentor in the drug courts, and I'm into the politics down here. It's just an uphill battle because of the stigma.
So help me with what's your question, Jane?
My question is, I need for someone, I want to put a wellness living center here in Martinsburg.
Okay.
And I just need some mentoring and some direction as to how I can get funding through a 501c3 or a 501c4.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know which way to go. There's a lot of property here that's available for that sort of thing, and the community here is open for it.
Well, let me see what Nicole can suggest as well as Eugene, because Nicole has spoken earlier about that mentoring process. And Eugene, I'm sure you can also talk about the assistance with developing a business plan. But Nicole, ladies first, go ahead.
Okay. I did mention, and I'm sure we have an office in West Virginia, but score.org, if you go there, you should be able to just put in a request. And what SCORE is, there are several retired execs with financial backgrounds, with executive level experience, who are retired, and their sole function is to help you do exactly what you're trying to do, brainstorm, get your concept more solidified, find funding sources, as well as I mentioned, if you were looking for a space, you might qualify for a 504 loan to purchase a particular space, or you can lease. I would like Eugene to talk about opportunities that may exist for veterans, because
yeah.
I know the SBA definitely has resources.
Right. And there's two caveats I'd like to mention first. In addition to SCORE, there's the Small Business Development Center that is very strong in West Virginia that can also help you with this in putting your business development plan together for this. But my question to you is this going to be a profit, for-profit organization or nonprofit? Because you mentioned 501c3. Now, with nonprofit, SBA guarantees are not applicable. We only deal with for-profit organizations as far as our 504 and 7A loans are concerned. Now, if you make it for-profit, which I highly recommend, and you can, then you, as a veteran, would have even a higher guarantee because you can get under our veteran account, and then therefore, instead of a 75% guarantee, an 80% to 90% guarantee based on what you're doing. But in addition to what you're talking about doing, if you make it for profit, because you are dealing with a social-related issue that is dealing with the social ills and repair of a community, you may be offered through the state, West Virginia, and through the local county, depending on which county you're in, grant funding for the 10% equity infusion that you have to do for any loan. Remember, Nicole mentioned that in the 504 loan, you have to put up 10% of equity infusion. You may qualify for getting a grant for a portion, if not all, of that 10% if you go to your local state and county economic development.
Okay. Well, James, you've got a lot to think about there and some resources that are literally at your fingertips. So certainly good luck to you. And we also salute, you know, the effort that you're, you know, thinking about developing in order to make your community better. So again, thank you so much. I need to take a break. When we come back, we are going to drill down a little bit more into funding of your business idea. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our discussion about funding your business. More phone calls coming in. I want to grab them real quick. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Wanda calling from Annapolis. What's on your mind?
I was doing mobile hair extensions and mobile, you know, services, but I wanted to go to the extent where I want to be stationary, and I wanted to know, how do I go about finding the money in order to, I guess, get the building or try to find all the aspects of really putting it together? Is it better to rent a building and start a salon, or should I try to, you know, borrow money and buy a building to start a salon? So that's where I am now, at a rut of trying to figure out the best policy to go in order to open up a salon spa. Just something just really basic until I get enough money generating in order to go real fancy.
Nicole?
Well, okay, so I think that would be for me, but I feel like this, whatever the term, that's why you have to do your business plan, Wanda, right? Which, you know, you don't want to just hurry up and get something. What's your brand? The most important thing I did with Soul was I really sat down and said, long term, I wanted something elegant, viable. It didn't have to be high cost, but I had a vision for what I wanted that business to be like. What's your vision? Write that down. And then you start to see opportunities and write down your costs. So the cost of putting together a leased out a leased space versus purchasing, they're two different economic analyses. It will be, you know, the short of it is it's less expensive to rent. But I want you to make sure, don't just try to open. I want you to try to stay open long term. And the only way you can do that is to write down your numbers first, write down what your brand is going to be like, and then get things that are consistent with that. And definitely, if you don't hear anything else I say, hire a real estate agent. A real estate agent is going to negotiate. Commercial real estate agent will negotiate those proper terms. With my second location, I tried to do it myself, even as a lawyer, and screwed up big time. So you need professionals to help you negotiate those terms so you'll be in business and stay in business.
Okay, Wanda, thank you for your phone call. Lisa calling from Fairfax, Virginia. What's on your mind?
Yes, hi, Harold.
Hey.
Hi, Nicole. Hi, hey. Kano. I just wanted to say to Nicole, I met you at the winery.
Hi, Lisa.
I have your book, and I so enjoy it, and thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you so much, Lisa.
I am learning some things from that and moving forward. So, like finding mentors, I am taking little business courses that are free to low cost just to educate myself while I'm moving forward in my business ventures that I will be, you know, birthing soon enough.
That's wonderful, Lisa. I'm so happy that was helpful. And keep going. Keep getting that information and building those relationships.
Well, Lisa, thank you so much for your phone call. Real quick, because I've got a lot I still want to go into. Eugene, you mentioned building bank relationships. What do you mean by that, briefly, please?
Well, we as African-Americans tend to not have banking relationships. Most of us don't even have banking accounts. 50% of African Americans don't have a banking account. We need to get familiar with our banking institution. And we need not just depositing and not just dealing with the tellers, but we need to know the business banker, and they need to know us. And they need to know not only us, but who is our clientele? What is the disposable income of that clientele, and what is the probability of that clientele buying our product or service?
Okay.
And they don't need to know that when you're at the need of a loan. They need to know that before you're at the need of a loan. Most people run into the bank and they get a loan when they can't meet payroll, and they're in situations that are dire need, and then the bank is looking at them going, oh, that's a high risk. But when you go to the bank when you're in good state and you are developing your relationship and you have a revenue flow and you have a situation where you really don't need debt and you're building that relationship, when you do need that debt, that's when they're there for you.
Yes.
I've got a question on my Facebook page from Daryl, and he wants to know how to find physical locations, non-storefront for starting a business. He also wants to know what to expect as far as costs for leasing and utilities, and where can he find guidance or resources, assistance or advice.
Really?
Go ahead, Eugene.
The best place to go for that, believe it or not, is to your city planning there. And you should pull out your city's, your location, be it a county or city, pull out their annual report. Find out where that city is building. Where is the population trends occurring? Where is the need for services? And what is on the business plan for development, because that will give you immediate access to what communities you should put your position in, and you're building equity and appreciation that will be coming up through the years. That should be a part of your plan. Also, you should go into the business, the city planning department, because then you can find like-type businesses. How much is the actual water bill? How much is the utility service? What is the zoning requirements? What are those things really need to be assessed, and you need to know them, because they will interfere with your operational costs. Then if you go with that hand, foot, and I agree with Nicole, at that point you go into your real estate agent. You do not try to take that on yourself. You get a good real estate agent, and you say, this is what I've learned. This is what I'm looking for. Find me the optimal building.
And I did want to do a shameless plug for Cobra Johnson and Romney. My business partner, Harold Johnson, is a commercial real estate broker and land developer. And we talk all the time. If I had met him, you know, 10 years ago, I probably would have had a franchise because they know those things like the back of their hand. They know the square footage. They know, you know, how much the rent, the leases are. And they can strategize and negotiate and advocate for you with these larger entities that's both in retail and, you know, professional spaces.
The other thing that is very important, and the young lady on the call that asked, should she rent or should she buy, you before you go to that real estate agency, there, and that's the reason the business plan is very critical. You need to know, for an example, if she opens that salon, does she have enough people to rent chairs to? And how much is that rent of chairs and revenues going to bring her? And is that going to bring down the cost of ownership of that building? What is the turnover rate for people who normally rent chairs in salons? Is that a six-month period? Is that a nine-month period? How much can you guarantee that revenue is going to last over the period or term of that loan? Those things need to be really analyzed, and the business plan, financial section of the business plan will give you that. One of the things that I think is very important, if you do nothing else, go to SBA.gov and look at the 10-point business plan. That business plan, that example of that business plan, is what 7,500 lending institutes look at every day. If you can structure your business plan based on those 10 points, you will have what 7,500 lending institutes look at when they look at a business plan.
Wow. I want to briefly talk about crowdfunding, angel funding. Nicole, what is that?
Crowdfunding is something where you go, basically you go online, you pitch your concept to the masses, and people can give you resources. Sometimes they ask for a return on it. Sometimes they just want,
like Shark Tank on
scene. Not like well, crowdfunding is different. That would be angel investors.
Angel. Okay.
So angel investors, and an SBA statistic is that only about 1% of startups actually benefit from angel funding.
Correct.
So I don't want people to believe that television, it is television. It doesn't happen in real, you know.
There aren't a whole lot of angels out there.
There's a nice lot of angels.
Okay.
There's a lot more sharks. But but angels, those are traditional. Yeah, I mean, those are funding sources where you come up with some concept, traditionally like the tech industry, Dot com, for lack of a better word. Those are the ones that are kind of looking at those types of concepts. Crowdfunding sources are more your everyday Joe. You know, hey, I have, an art business that I want to put up, the graphic design, the more creatives. You put that on, and then people are like, hey, I want to take a chance. I want to see this person's vision come to life. You know, you're not going to get $1 million typically off of that. It'll be, in the hundreds, thousands. But it is something to help you get a smaller concept up. I'd also want to say that for those startups, the side hustles, I always say that that's a great way to start. Starting out where you have a lower kind of startup cost. So, if you're a baker, starting small, start online, do your deliveries and so forth and get your cash flow going. And then you can go in a year or 2 years, go to a banker and say, hey, I have 2 years of cash flow. I want to expand now into a storefront or into a mobile, mobile facility and I have a proven track record. So you're no longer that traditional startup with no numbers. You've built it up on the side, and now you can launch with a more traditional source of revenue behind you.
And what about veterans organizations? Is that an option for seeking funding? I know we spoke to a veteran out there in West Virginia, but do veterans organizations?
Well, veteran organizations mostly team up with organizations like mine, FBA, and they become microlenders. They're not so much into the crowdfunding as Nicole just pointed out. But Nicole is right about something that we must understand. Most business entrepreneurs, when they start their business, they're using their own funds or they're using friends and family. Crowdfunding is the next step before you get to the microloan program. Mm-hmm. And it's a way to get money, and she's right. It's not going to be millions. It's going to be hundreds or thousands of dollars, and it's going to be like that. But once you get to the point where you need $10,000 to $50,000, you want to look at the microloan programs, and that's where your veteran organizations come in, because they become intermediaries, and if they're not, they are associated with one, and they could find you a microloan.
Well, Eugene Cornelius and Nicole Kolber, thank you both so much. Of course, if you want more information about applying for a small business loan through the SBA, you can find them on SBA.gov. That's SBA.gov. And to find Nicole, how can we find you online, Nicole?
NickKolber.com. And you can follow me, tweet me, all those things at Nick Kolber Esquire.
That's NICCOBER.com. I got to go.